Hey, you want that to go?
Now some quick takeouts on stories you're following all this week. We'll go to Todd Zwillick first, our Washington correspondent. And as we've been saying, the House has passed major health reform legislation by a narrow margin, but they did pass it. And Democrats are pretty happy about it. Here's a reaction from Sunday morning from House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer.
For all of my friends in the press who have been assaulting me in the hallways, asking if we had the votes, the answer is yes.
So, Todd, he sounds happy, obviously, but again, this is a very small margin they won by. Was it closer than you thought?
Close. A margin of just, 220 to 215 is really a margin of just three votes. It's a swing of just three votes. I don't know if it was closer than I thought it would be. We were all watching the board really closely, and it barely got passed. But you got to look inside the numbers here a little bit, Celeste. 39 Democrats voted against this bill. And it's not just any bill. This is the president's top domestic priority and the Democrats' top domestic priority. And when you look into those numbers, you know that the Democratic landslide from last year where all these Democrats swept into office. Well, that was Barack Obama's coattails, and nearly half of the freshmen who came into office on that big wave last year, half of them voted against this. So they have already decided that voting for Obamacare or Pelosi care or supporting the Democrats on their top domestic priority is a way that they can't get reelected. And that tells you a lot about what the Democrats are going to be able to do for the rest of this term up until 2010, which is probably not much.
Okay, but very, very quickly, what does this narrow margin mean about the battle in the Senate once we have to reconcile these bills?
Right, and many people see this House vote really as the high watermark for what Democrats were going to be able to do. At least the Democratic base would be able to get out of health reform. You know, as hard as this was to do in the House, I'm sorry to say, it was the easy part. They squeaked by 220 to 215 in the Senate. A majority that thin just doesn't cut it. We all know that. Now, Senator Joe Lieberman, who caucuses with the Democrats, he's already said and repeated this weekend that he will not support a Democratic bill that includes the public option.
Okay.
So now Harry Reid has to get on with his 60 Democrats, and he doesn't even have 60 at the starting line.
Okay, Todd Zwill is our Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
I'm sorry, so sorry.
I made a boo-boo.
So our business takeout comes in the form of a high-profile apology this morning. Louise Story from our partner in the New York Times, finance reporter. Good morning.
Good morning. Who's
crying now, Louise?
Well, this is John Reed. He's one of the ones with Sandy Weill who really built Citigroup into what it is. And this is notable because we've seen very few big Wall Street bankers apologize.
And what's he doing? He's sort of doing a little dog and pony show down in Washington this morning. Right?
Well, he said, I'm sorry, and he said that back in 1990, he pushed for the Glass-Steagall repeal.
This deregulation.
This is a law from the 1930s that separated banking activities, the trading from the deposit. He pushed for the repeal. And he's saying now, I was wrong. I'm sorry. We should bring it back.
Is he the only big finance guy? And again, he's not taking credit for the entire financial meltdown.
Right.
Maybe he should. That would be nicer if he did. But is he the only big finance guy looking,
No.
lobbying for regulatory reform?
So Paul Volcker, who used to be in charge of the Federal Reserve, he's very high profile. He advised the Obama campaign on economics. He also has said, we need to bring back some form of Glass-Steagall. We need to separate the risky trading that got us in trouble from the deposit taking. The only thing is, the Obama administration doesn't seem to be listening to Paul Volcker anymore.
So these finance voices, John Reed, Paul Volcker, are not going to increase the likelihood that regulatory reform gets passed.
It doesn't seem like it right now, even with all the I'm sorry's, it doesn't seem like it.
All right. Thanks. So that takeout from Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times.
Now let's go to sports with our Takeaway Sports contributor, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen.
So, Guns N' Roses for you, dude.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds like a little Guns N' Roses.
It is Guns N' Roses this morning, which, we don't want to, we can combine the roses with the football, but hopefully not the guns. So let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts because they did hold on to their undefeated record, but barely, 20-17 against the Texans. This is what came in with 1 second left.
42-yard kick this time for Chris Brown to tie. Snap. The ball is down. The kick's on its way. And it is no good. He missed it. He missed it. Colts win. Colts win. Colts win. He missed the 42-yarder.
Yeah.
And Colts. The Colts,
I think the Colts won.
Colts lucky. Colts
so
lucky.
So understand that a little bit. The backdrop is that the kicker had Chris Brown had already kicked the 50-yarder that same day.
Right.
So him being on the line to kick that one, it seemed like a lock, and the Colts were going to lose their first game. But what also comes out of that, Peyton Manning is the first quarterback ever to throw for 40,000 yards in a single decade, and he threw 19 passes in the first quarter. He's a prolific passer. The Colts are starting to feel like a team of destiny, like they're marching towards the Super Bowl.
Team of destiny.
Well, but Manning is absolutely stellar. He's a once in a lifetime kind of player,
without a doubt. And so people are comparing him and Drew Brees as the two best players in the league. And Drew Brees,
quarterback for the Saints,
and the New Orleans Saints, they stayed undefeated as well by beating the Carolina Panthers.
Well, although the Panthers and the Texans, come on. These aren't really strong teams.
Well, the teams that are playing good football against other teams, against top, you know, contenders. The other game I wanted to talk about is last night's game. The Cowboys beat the Eagles 20-16 in the NFC East showdown that basically showed that the NFC East top two teams, the Cowboys and the Eagles, are running away from the hapless New York Giants.
Oh, hapless. That is a compliment compared to what the Giants are.
Poor
hapless.
Giants.
No.
They started the season with such high hopes.
They were 5-0 to begin the season. They've lost four games in a row. They're one of the first. They're the second team that's been 5-0 to lose four games straight after
no
that.
No defense. They should play jacks, not football.
And the Miami Dolphins, who you like, lost to the New England Patriots.
They lost 27-17. And the Dolphins, they're playing great football. They're doing their best, but the Patriots are definitely another team that knows how to win tough games.
And we'll see if the Colts can handle the Patriots next week. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is a Takeaway Sports contributor. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Good morning.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.